Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
I feel for singles these days in Australia. It is a bit of a struggle to find that one out there who matches you. And it's getting even more expensive when it comes to the whole dating thing.
Yeah.
ING's just done some research, Hutsy, into how much the average Aussie is spending on their first date. How much do you think it is?
Well, I think this is a bit of a grading scale. If the person you're taking on the date's from a rough neighbourhood, missing a couple of teeth, you could probably get away with a box of nuggets. But it's someone of a, you know...
To share?
A nice home, nice family, nice background. I'd probably say $20-odd each a main, maybe an entree, couple of drinks. I'd say maybe $60-$70.
Higher.
Higher?
Mm-hmm.
$90?
Higher.
Larry, you're bankrupting me. $110?
Higher.
Shall I put you out of your misery?
Yeah.
The average amount Aussies are spending on a first date is $154.16.
What happened to taking someone to Sizzler with a coupon?
Jeez. Hey, don't knock Sizzler, mate. Oh. My wife and I, our first date was at Sizzler, okay? We were poor uni students. It was all we could afford. But yeah, $154.16.
Oh,
they reckon 41% of those first date expenses go towards new clothes. Almost half of your first date budget goes towards new clothes. I'm like, that can't be right. Because as blokes, you're not going to spend, what, $63 on clothes, especially if you just go and shop at... I'm spending $63 there.
Oh.
25% of this figure goes towards hair-related services. So you might go and get, you know, a nice fade at your local barber.
Mm.
Bald guys are going to save right there. There goes 20.
That's right.
You're already saving money. Put that towards the clothes, maybe. Yeah, this is all part of a survey. Over 1,000 Aussies over 18, they were asked how much they were spending on dating. And the results found that since 2017... the costs of dates had quadrupled. So we used to spend about $11.7 billion a year. Now it's up to $42.8 billion a year in Australia when it comes to romance.
Yeah, my first date with the missus, I still remember it. Warrawong, near Wollongong, Giuliani's Pizzeria. I think it was about, she had the garlic prawns, and that's where I found out that would be her favourite food for the rest of her life. I had the veal parmigiana, an absolute winner. I think it was about $50-odd. Then we went to Macca's and got a dessert at Macca's across the road.
Put the rest of the first date budget towards Adapto Dogs.
Exactly, Adapto Dogs, couple of, you know, number seven. Why not? Paying $3.20. But yeah, $154, like...
Mm.
You'd want to get some sort of return for that. You'd want to at least get a peck on the cheek or a second date for $100.
Oh, no. You know.
Surely. Expectations.
Who do you think spends more when it comes to the first date, men or women?
God, here come the phone calls. I would think men.
You are correct, sir. They invest more in date preparation, $69.50, whereas women, hang on, that doesn't make sense. A pre-date preparation, men spend
pre-date?
More.
Pre-date?
Yeah.
So you haven't even got to the date and you've spent a fortune.
You spent over close to $70. Apparently the biggest expenses for us men in the lead up to a date were gifts, contraception and dental work. See, when I was dating, I didn't have to worry about the contraception because my teeth are that munted. They worked as contraception. No one wanted to be with me. The bulk of Aussies, 59%, prefer to split the cost of a first date evenly or pay for their share.
Jeez, no wonder a lot of men turn up to these days with a Velcro wallet because they can't afford a real one.
This is the thing that blew my mind, though, because you're thinking a lot of singles now use things like Tinder.
Yeah.
You know, I never used it because I was happily married by the time that came out, right? But from what I understand, a lot of people on Tinder dates just go around to someone else's house.
Mm.
And from what I've heard, they just play board games for a little while and then it's straight to the bedroom. So I'm like, the costs of a first date, I would assume, are quite low. But the research... from this survey found that people using dating apps were spending an average of $208 on a first date.
Whoa.
It's higher than the average cost
of
meeting someone
in.
I don't know.
Is that what the Uber fare to get to where you got to go to?
Must be. Yeah. Just crazy. So there you go. I mean, that's a good way to weed out the people that you might not want to see for a second date. You know, if you go out on a first date and they're not willing to spend over $150, you know, if they're... basically saying, hey, do you want a Lady and the Tramp a hot dog at a van or something? Then you probably know you don't have to worry about spending anything on the second date because it's not going to happen.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
You may have heard in the news, Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck finally got married. After rekindling their romance, which fell apart about 18 years ago, they got engaged just 3 months ago. And word is that J-Lo went, "I'm not waiting for Ben to get cold feet again," and rushed him down the aisle. And they both said, "I do." And now she's Miss Jennifer Affleck.
Yeah, it's a done deal now.
Still Ben Affleck.
Do you reckon back in the day, about the time it started to go bad, is when they started appearing in movies together?
Yeah, they reckon Gigi broke them.
And then all of a
sudden, too much focus on them.
You're blaming the other person for their bad acting in the movie for the reason the movie didn't do well.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, and then that resentment just builds.
But the good thing is, like, J-Lo had a music video that featured Ben, and now that's relevant again. You know what I mean? She can watch that without wincing, sort of thing. So, 3 months they were engaged for. And earlier in the birthday book, we found out Terry Irwin was engaged to Steve for just 4 months. Oh, sorry, 8 months.
They
were engaged for 8 months, but they got engaged after 4 months.
Yeah.
They met each other 4 months later, bam, he proposed. But they were engaged for 8 months before they walked down the aisle at Australia Zoo, I'm assuming.
Yeah, our timeline for my relationship, I think me and the missus got together in 2011. It was 2017. I popped the question and now it's 2022. And
so it took you 6 years
to
propose, and now it's another 5 years of being engaged.
Yeah.
And no sign of the altar in sight.
Nah. This is because, like, I was getting paid even less than what I'm getting paid in radio back then, so it took me that long to save up.
Sort of just eloping, though, doing like the shotgun wedding like J-Lo and Ben did. They went to Vegas and got it done, just knocked it out.
Should have done that. If I could afford a trip to America, I'd probably think about doing that. But a lot of people, we actually had our engagement party in 2017, done it for about $2,000. Everyone was like, "Oh, great event. Good. You should just pop the question. You should have just had the wedding there." I'm like, "Yeah, now you tell me."
You raised the bar too high.
Yeah, 2-for-1 deal I could have got.
My partner and I, we were only engaged for 2 years, which I think is kind of the average.
That's about,
most of my friends and that, it was around the same amount of time for an engagement. Mm. But we're curious about you. Have you had like a really short engagement like J-Lo and Ben? Or maybe it's a longer one like, you know, Hutsy or
We're not
people.
Doing a census or anything like that, but we just like to know.
Yeah, 1-300-92-1250. Marianne from Candelo is on the line. Hello, Marianne. How long were you engaged for before you, you know, tied the knot?
Yeah, so it was only 5 months, actually.
All right.
5 months?
Yeah. Quick turnaround.
So my husband's Australian. I'm South African, if you couldn't hear from that.
Oh, yes, I picked up a bit of a
just a little bit of an accent. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were long distancing, and so we only saw each other sort of like every 2 or 3 months. And, when he proposed, we were kind of like, well, you know, we both sort of believe, we were like, well, you know, if we're dating to get married, like, what's the point of waiting? And he's a farmer, and it was also based on, well, when are the cows calving?
So the decision was never up in the air whether he moves to South Africa or you move to Australia. It was always you're moving here because the cows are more important?
Definitely.
Well, yes, there you go. How long have you been married for now, Marianne?
We've been married just a little over 2 years.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and we've just had our first baby. So
congratulations.
Yeah,
calm. Well done. Are you about the cows now in the pecking order, or is it still the herd comes first?
You know, it depends. Like, I get every now and then he'll say to me, "Oh, babe, I've been thinking." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, how much is it going to cost?"
Well, there you go, 5 months, and nice. The deed was done. Knot was tied. That's brilliant. Thanks for chatting with us, Marianne.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too, mate.
Mate. I know a lot of people try to plan their wedding for a different season, but I've never heard of calving season. We're going to have a spring wedding. Oh, we're going to do it when the cows give birth. That's where.
Walks up to livestock. What do you reckon? What's a good time? They look for their livestock cow and go, opening here.
1-300-92-1250. We want to hear your story. How long were you engaged? Now we've got Shannon in the room with us. Morning, Shannon. You're apparently on the other end of the engagement length. How long were you guys engaged for before getting married?
We got engaged in 2009 and we're still not married.
Ooh, I thought mine was
13 years.
It has been so many years.
How come you haven't decided to walk down the aisle, Shannon? What's the holdup?
So it's just life keeps getting in the way.
Okay,
that's an excuse I use as well.
But it's actually true. So back in 2009, when we first got engaged, we were really excited, as every newly engaged couple is, and we started to plan a wedding. And my partner decided that it was an awful lot of money to spend on one day, and the venues that were available at the time were not very good value for money.
Well, thank God the cost of weddings has plummeted and they're so much more affordable these days.
$40,000 per, that's nothing.
It's even worse now to plan and pay for a wedding.
I know. And then every time since then we managed to save up the money, we did something silly like buy another house or have a kid or some major life event has happened, and it just sort of hasn't happened.
At the end of the day, the marriage part, it's just a bit of paper. You know, it's the certificate, it's the rings, exchanging the vows. But if you love each other, like...
Exactly. Yeah. We've been together for 20 years.
Okay.
So,
there you go.
Yeah.
And you've got kids together, houses together. That stuff's more binding than a wedding vows.
Exactly. So we still do plan to maybe one day do it so that I can at least have the same surname as my children.
Sure. Is that when you start to leave like Proud's catalogs laying around and stuff and wedding event things just laying around the house circling things to go, hey, maybe it's about time, nudge?
Oh, absolutely. And we've been thinking of, you know, really crazy ways of doing it. So I did volcanology when I was at uni and my partner was like, hey, did you know that you can get married on top of a volcano? And I was we should absolutely do that then.
That's a way of ensuring you keep the guest list down, that's for sure.
I know, right?
You just got to be careful where you throw the bouquet at the end of the
Someone could take a tumble inside a volcano.
He's one of the bridesmaids in the lava. That'd be bad. But... Oh, well, good luck, Shannon. I hope you guys do manage to get down the aisle sooner rather than later.
Eventually. One day it'll happen.
Don't say one day, say Sunday.
Thanks for the chat. Appreciate it. You have a top day.
Thanks, guys. You too. Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Got some really good stories coming through on Facebook as well as that one. I like Amanda's one. This is a whole timeline of events. So just over 4 months, I started planning our engagement party and thought, why not just get married? So we did. I had this idea while my then fiancé was at work. I called him to run it by him. He seemed pretty casual about the whole thing. So I called the priest to see if we could book in the church, and everything started aligning. By the time he was home from work, we had booked into a 6-week marriage preparation course and had the priest and church all locked in. Been married now for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just like that. You wake up.
Wedding.
Wake up, go to work, you're engaged, you come home and the wedding's already been planned. How brilliant's that? But I like
makes
the story.
The hard work out.
Yeah, I like the story from Shannon there as well. So 13 years, it makes me feel, you know, less bad about my 5 years of engagement and not being married yet.
So, it does, because her and her partner have the excuse of like buying houses.
Oh, yeah,
kids
yeah.
And stuff. You're 5 years in.
My barbecuing obsession has kept us. My home brewing obsession.
What have I got to do to get you and Rachel down the aisle? I feel like a car salesman. What do I have to do to put you into a brand new marriage today?
Yeah.
I was thinking you're going away on a cruise in November aboard the Carnival Splendor. Yeah. I've just been looking. They don't have a chapel on board.
Oh, okay.
They've got a cigar lounge.
They got a morgue.
They got a morgue. There's a jogging track. No chapel. But from what I understand, can't sea captains marry people?
Well, that's just one of their things on their resume.
Could we not line this up? Yeah, whoever the captain is of the Carnival Splendor, maybe we should get in touch with them. And then while you guys are on the cruise, knock it out. Get married. Little bit of an elopement.
Yeah.
It's a nice destination wedding for you and Rachel. It'd be good.
Maybe. And like the sea captain on Titanic, if it all goes bad, I can go down with the ship.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Now, Brad, the word inflation has got me tossing and turning in my sleep. Price of things going up. You know, lettuce, that's going through the roof. It's like the Viennetta log in the 1990s. A series of wealth and distinction if you've got a lettuce in the fridge at home.
So do you wake up in a cold sweat like, lettuce, come back, lettuce. Lettuce.
Yeah. I've been detoxing myself off the salads that I usually have in tuna for lunch for probably about a month now. But I tell you what, the latest thing to go up in price, potentially, it looks like it's almost locked in. This one has really hit us below the belt, in the spuds, as a matter of fact.
It happened with lettuce. Now potatoes face a price rise. It's crunch time for Victorian growers, no longer able to absorb the extra costs.
Growers have actually had to cover these costs over the last couple of years.
We can't afford to keep copping that.
Yeah, spuds. You know, did you grow up having the meat and two veg for dinner most nights because that was the cheapest, the spuds?
Yeah, you know. Potatoes always a staple on the dinner plate, but now I'm going to have to go from buying washed spuds to the dirty spuds just to save that extra bit of change.
Be going halves in a spud for dinner.
Yeah.
Cut it, you know, perfectly down the middle and go halves with someone else. But yeah, the farmers have to absorb the cost at this stage of extra fertilizer, transport costs and stuff as well. So you're probably thinking, what is the current going rate for spuds though? How much do people pay for spuds? Well, this is to sort of put it on a platter for you.
A kilo of processing potatoes currently fetches around 30 cents. They want double that.
And it relates to very little at the retail. It's less than 2 or 3 cents on a serve of chips.
Yeah, so they need to get more money to be able to, you know, meet the public demand. Most of them go to, you know, Woolworths, Coles and fast food places like McDonald's and that. The current going rate for, I think, 4 kilos of brushed potatoes is around $9 at Woolies.
Yeah, and it looks like it's just going to get higher. I'm kind of like, bugger that. I'm just going to start growing my own potatoes. If Matt Damon can do it on the surface of
Mars
with his own poop, I mean, how much trouble can it be for me?
Maybe
most of the time I just go in the backyard anyway, so I'm like, you know, I just throw some potato seeds in, bam,
yeah,
grow my own spuds.
I feel like, though, we kind of have to cave to these farmers' demands because it could turn to Fiji, their situation, that they've got no beef for their burgers at McDonald's or anywhere. That's getting into dire straits
You don't want to go down to Macca's or KFC and find out they're, you know, they don't have any fries for you.
Disaster.
Chips.
But as it turns out, we kind of need to have the farmers' demands met, otherwise it could get really bad.
Farmers here from Ballarat's growing region have issued a stark warning. If they can't recoup their costs, a mass exodus of growers could lead to a nationwide shortage of spuds as early as February next year.
Oh my God.
So start preparing. I reckon they're going to have to hire some extra security around that giant spud at Robertson. People are going to be turning out with their aprons on, you know, like they're carving a Christmas ham or something like that, slicing a bit off the side.
Yeah.
Things are getting nuts.
It's like those seagulls as well. They're going to be like, you know, mobbing people at the beach now, just fighting over that one fry.
I know. Selling that on the black market.
Yeah.
But also, I reckon they're going to have to beef up security when it comes to, you know, the self-service checkouts as well. You know, in the past, we've seen, you know, people scan avocados as brushed potatoes. Now we're going to see the opposite. We're going to see people scanning potatoes as avocados to save money.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsie.